This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, Mr. Durham, we're going to lead off the Power Hour, if you don't mind, with a guy that you've seen across the channel at all hours, including right now. Carlos Boozer joins us. You see him on Nothing But Net. There he is, chilling and grilling.
You've been working.
That's it.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
We're good, man. So let's get right to it.
I appreciate you just getting up.
My 2-year-old got me up at 6:30 every morning. That's it.
You're never off this time of the year. All right, before we get into hoops, though, Carlos, let's talk about Duke, because there are no more hoops. Incredibly disappointing and, frustrating for all those players and coaches. You put in the effort, a crazy year. You kind of win two good games in the ACC tournament. You know you got to win five, and then bang, positive test, total shutdown. You always knew that was lurking for every team this year, that you had to figure out a way to stay safe and healthy. But what a crazy ending to what was a really crazy year for Duke.
Yeah, you said it great. It really was a crazy year, a year like no other for everybody. There's COVID-19 and the protocols, having to miss games, having to check everybody. Practice schedules are very different. I talked to Coach K and assistant coach Nate James yesterday. The word they used was heartbreaking. You know, this team was really coming alive at the right time. They had two really good games in the ACC tournament against Boston College and Louisville. Had a great matchup against Florida State. Who knows what would have happened when the ball went up. They were rolling. The emergence of Mark Williams was phenomenal. He was playing incredible in the tournament, as well as Matthew Hurt and the rest of those guys. The guards especially were picking it up. I just feel bad for those guys that they basically got taken out of the tournament. And who knows? I still feel like they would have had to win the ACC tournament, which was possible to get into the tournament. But they were definitely making a run. But 2 years in a row, two seasons in a row, they were unable to play in the tournament because of COVID. Just heartbreaking for these kids. Kids like Wendell Moore, Matthew Hurt, these guys came to Duke to be in the tournament. And, you know, hopefully, obviously, the biggest thing is I hope the kid that got infected is okay. I hope he's asymptomatic, nothing too crazy with his body. Wish everybody that has COVID to be okay and be healthy. But on the basketball side of things, definitely disheartening.
Carlos, I want to go right back. I'm glad you said you talked to Nate James, because I said this on Wednesday night. We have looked into the future of ACC basketball for next year. And I know there'll be kids that show up as freshmen. There'll be other guys that come back. But if you don't have the high alert out for Mark Williams and Walker Kessler, you are missing the band, because those two guys got remarkably better over the course of the season. And I think that speaks to a lot of different things. Maybe the difference of the season, one, but two, their own personal level of development within their programs. You mentioned Nate James, who I know has done a lot with Mark Williams. I think Walker Kessler certainly benefited from Roy Williams and his staff's tutelage in terms of his improvement too. But the bigs getting better is a huge sign of encouragement for the 21-22 ACC season.
Yeah, no question. Those two guys are talented through the roof. Nate James works with Mark Williams very closely. I'm sure Sean May is working closely with Kessler. Those two guys have emerged dramatically over the course of the season. It was almost like 1 minute they were there. Obviously, Jalen Johnson leaves to get ready for the NBA. And then all of a sudden, we got a whole new big guy, whole new team, and Mark Williams at Duke. And so the future is very bright. Especially if all those guys come back with the recruiting class that they have coming in. Duke's probably going to be a top five team next year if everybody comes back. Carolina is rolling. They got that front four. They got stars in their front court. They got four guys that can compete with anybody in the country, not tomorrow, not next year, but right now. They're going to be something to reckon with come March Madness.
All right, let's talk about tonight, because I mentioned this to Wes. Unlike last night, we have two matchups where teams have seen each other twice. Florida State, North Carolina split. Virginia swept Georgia Tech. But, Carlos, in every single one of those games, it could have gone the other way. Now, these were four tough, gritty, nasty games. I mean, that North Carolina-Florida State game in Tallahassee was anybody's game with 3 minutes. What happened in Chapel Hill? Noles are about ready to blow North Carolina out of the water in the first half. North Carolina played a brilliant second half and took care of business. Georgia Tech should have won the first one in Charlottesville, but the Hoos find ways to win inside 2 minutes. And the same thing in Atlanta. You know, Georgia Tech had a chance, but Virginia said, no, 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 not tonight. So it leads to really an intriguing semifinal tonight. So with that said, you tell me, Georgia Tech, Virginia, what are you looking for in the first one?
Great. I mean, the point guard matchup off the bat, you know, you got Jose Alvarado, heart and soul of that team. Last night gets hurt, comes back, makes a heady play to Moses Wright to kind of finish the game off with that dunk. You know, and then on the other side, you got Kihei Clark, who's ahead of the snake, does a phenomenal job setting everybody up. Both of these guys are intense. It's going to be the battle of the point guard for me. I mean, there's a lot of guys around them. Again, Virginia has a lot. They got experience. Kihei Clark, don't forget, Kihei Clark's a national champion. He won a championship as a freshman. So he has that experience. And then Alvarado, obviously, being defensive player of the year. Moses Wright being the player of the year in the conference in the ACC. You got Jay Huff having a double-double every night. Huge, huge contribution from Jay Huff as a senior. Then Hauser comes in, transfers, is an immediate impact player, first-team all-conference. So we got stars on both sides of the ball. I'm looking for a great matchup. And whoever wins that point guard matchup leading their team will win the game.
How about game two?
You feel the same way? Game two is interesting because Florida State and Carolina have played twice. And Carolina had to come from behind in the second game. But in the first game, and Mark's mentioned this a lot, Booze, Carolina played Florida State hard in the first meeting, just didn't have enough at the end to win.
Yeah, I mean, those are two good teams, man. Coach Ham got those boys rolling. We haven't seen Florida State yet in this tournament, obviously, but we know what they're capable of. We've seen them all season long. They got a bunch of guys that can play. They got a phenomenal freshman who we all know is going to be a top five pick in the draft next year. They got a bunch of 6'7" guys, 6'8" guys that can guard every position. They can switch. They're physical. They're athletic. And on the other side of that coin, Carolina, their guards have matured as the season has gone along. And, again, their bigs can compete with any bigs in the country. Roy Williams got those boys rolling at the right time. So I feel like it's going to be two great games, two phenomenal semifinals, clash of the Titans, so to speak, and we'll see what happens.
What about Florida State not playing, Carlos? I mean, a lot of times you'll hear teams say, hey, you know what? Duke had to win 5 in 5 days, right? That's crazy. And you saw Miami yesterday just gut check, third game in 3 days, only 6 scholarship players. Here's Florida State, who almost, you could say, took Saturday off in South Bend where they just laid an egg. So you got to know, as talented as they are, they let that regular season thing get away from them. So you know that's been burning all week, and yet we've not seen them play. And they've gone through a couple COVID pauses. So, again, you know they're talented. You know they're deep. You know Leonard's going to play 19 guys on the bench, and here they come in waves. But does it help to have a game under your belt? North Carolina, check on that, right? That game last night was tough and physical with Virginia Tech. Does that help or does that hurt Florida State tonight?
We'll find out soon. I mean, I'm a big fan of playing. Obviously, they can't control what happened with Duke with the COVID case. But for them, you know, one thing we know about Coach Hamilton, he's going to have his team prepared. This team is very talented. I think it will take a little bit of time. They really haven't been in the building. They haven't played any games. They haven't played a physical matchup. You know, Carolina had a blowout game in game one, had a physical game in game two. And they're going to be ready and roaring because they've already got the nerves out the way, so to speak. Florida State may take a little bit of time to get those nerves out the way of playing their first game in the ACC. But you know Coach Hamilton's going to have those boys prepared. They're very talented, like I said before. They're physical. They're athletic. They can press you. They can execute in the half court. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens tonight. I think initially they're going to have to figure out a way to stop those bigs inside with Carolina, and that might be the way they get some going.
Hey, Carlos, just for point of reference here, who dunked it harder, you or Moses Wright?
Hey, I'm really impressed by Moses Wright. I got to give it to me, you know what I'm saying, just because I'm on air, but I really like Moses Wright a lot. You know, I learned a lot about him last night with the piece that we did on Nothing But Net, what he does off the court and what he's into. Very talented kid, has an incredible story. Really rude for him to continue. He didn't have the greatest game yesterday. He obviously had a huge bucket at the end with Alvarado with the heads-up play. But you know he's going to come back. And he's going to have a big game tonight if he wants his team to advance.
I want to go back, though, to something that Wes said before he brought you on, that you never experienced losing in the ACC tournament. And, I championship DNA. It doesn't matter if it's the NBA. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's college hoops, college football. I don't care what it is. When you know you just have that mental makeup that, hey, we're not going to lose a game. I don't care what the other guy does. We'll find a way to win the game, Carlos. Don't you get a sense with Virginia that every time you watch them play, if it's tight and we get within 2-3 minutes, they just play great basketball inside 2 minutes. When it's winning time, I mean, they don't win them all. But, man, I tell you what, they don't lose many. And I'm always amazed at the poise that they play with. Like, even yesterday, Syracuse had them in trouble. And you never got a sense with Virginia, you know what? Hey, we're just going to go do our thing, and we'll get this thing within 3 minutes. And when we do, guess what's going to happen? We're going to make 4 out of 5 threes, and we're going to make the game winner. They've got that DNA. And you had it when you were at Duke, that you just never sensed that we're ever going to lose a game. Don't you feel that way with Virginia?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was fortunate to play with some really, really great pros and some great college players, and obviously Coach K. We definitely had that same never die mentality. But Virginia has that. I mean, I remember they got champions on that team. You know, I still go back to Kihei Clark and Jay Huff. Those guys have been there before. They got great poise. Tony Bennett really got those guys playing terrific. And you're right. Syracuse had them down early. That zone was working. Betty Boeheim was having the game of his life, hitting shots. He was having a phenomenal tournament. They really had the momentum in that game. And then you saw late in that game, second half, 10-minute mark, 8-minute mark. It looked like Virginia. You know, K.A. Clark was making poise decisions. Jay Huff was grabbing rebounds. Sam Hauser was making threes. And it was the way he scored. It's just the way you got to chop up that zone. And then you see the game winner. And it's just, you know what it is? It's survive and advance. And you guys have seen it year after year. Mm. Virginia has that poise that you talked about. They're a team that can win the whole thing this year.
Yeah. All right. So let's be honest. You don't work until about 11 o'clock tonight. So I know you got a rough day on tap in South Florida. So what are we going to do? We're going to get on the boat, have a little jet ski action today. We're going to maybe get a little light lunch. You know, what all we got planned in the life of C Booze today?
Today I'm going to talk to you guys. I'm going to talk to my buddy Jay Will on his show after this. Have some fun with him, talking ACC hoops as well. Go get some lunch, of course. I might stop by the pool. I'm looking a little pale. I want to get a little color real quick. Might stop by the pool. And what I really want to do is pull up and get some Bojangles with everybody over there.
Hey, let me tell you, Carlos, if you're hanging out with us, I couldn't promise you a seat in the front because Chester rides shotgun. But I'll put you in the back with Fuller, and we'll go zip on over there to Bojangles. Yeah. So we'll take good care of you. Because the little man over here on the chair. Yeah, little man over here on the chair rides up front with me.
Little guy on the chair.
Yeah, he rides up front.
Yeah, how about that?
Hey, I like it.
Booze, nothing says Friday morning at 10:05 like Packers showing up at the Bojangles with dogs looking for biscuits. Now, are you serious?
That's right.
How impressive is that?
And Bojangles knows. Hey, Carlos, Bojangles knows no butter on the biscuits for the dogs. That's a plain biscuit for both hounds. They already got that down to a science. That's when you know you're a regular. Yeah, that's when you know you're a regular, when they've got those waiting on you at 10:05. That's when you know you've arrived.
The key thing this week will be make sure you rub it into everybody that you're going to the pool today when you're on TV with everybody in Connecticut. So thanks to Carlos Boozer for the time. Be well.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. As we always say, embrace what you get and don't go crazy with what you don't get. And Wes, we've got breaking news. Yesterday it happened about 10:05 with Duke. And unfortunately, we have some bad news just happened.
Yep, 9:20 this morning, Virginia has had a positive test within the Tier 1 of their men's basketball program. So Georgia Tech, Virginia has now been canceled. Process with the ACC, much like yesterday, where Florida State moved to the semis, Georgia Tech will now advance to the championship game and play the winner of tonight's Florida State North Carolina game that will tip at 8:30 on ESPN. So for the second straight day, the 68th ACC basketball tournament has been impacted by the testing protocols that the ACC set up. Now, bigger question, and certainly you hate to see the top seed go by the boards because of a positive test. Unlike Duke, though, yesterday, who immediately canceled their season, now we have to see where this puts Virginia in relationship to next week, Pac, because today is Friday. If my calendar's right, the NCAA tournament's scheduled to start on Saturday, is it not?
Well, it's
Is that right? First four is earlier in the week, but the Saturday is the first day of the tournament, right?
Well, I think we go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So
thank you.
Again, it's a 7-day window. You got to have the 7 negative tests and so forth. This has been the one thing we've talked about every day during the hoop season. Can we get to the finish line?
Right.
And hey, we can talk about bubbles and all you want when the Indianapolis for the men and for the great state of Texas for the ladies. But this is an issue. And when we rattled off 3 or 4 conference tournament games this week that have been affected with the COVID, in which a team has basically had to say, hey, we're out. We're tapping out with this thing. But now you're having an impact on not only the ACC tournament in terms of a game to be played tonight, but even a bigger picture for a team like Virginia that you know is locked and loaded into the big dance. How could that potentially affect them moving forward? And does that mean their season's over? We don't know the answer to that. As of 9:22 this morning, we don't know the answer to that. So I got to wait on details. Yep. One thing, the only thing we know is that tonight, getting ready for Georgia Tech and Virginia, you will not get that game, unfortunately. So it's where we are, Wes. Yep. I hate to say this. I doubt this will be the last time we have this conversation when it comes to the NCAA tournament. So let's hope that we can get through it. It's going to be tough.
And you know, Pac, we were talking at the top today as it related to Duke. You know, and I hate to be that guy on this show because we always try and look at it in a positive manner and look through it transparent, obviously. But I just didn't have a sense that we were going to be – given the way the season went, the percentages were not in the favor of playing this thing out clean. Not only this week and the last 2 weeks, 38 conference championships, right? Something along those lines. The chances of us playing this thing all the way out and playing it clean, I thought, were pretty minimal. And now you've got an NCAA tournament where you're going to bring everybody from one station to the next. Jay Billis has given us some things about lifting out of that bubble. A positive test, not taking a team out. Now here's Virginia on a Friday with a positive test. How will that be measured on the 7 days that you have to have the negatives? For the state of Indiana, how does that look? I mean, there's a lot of different little details in this that are going to make the next week very interesting for the Cavaliers. And I'm sure Virginia wants to play this out. Sure. I mean, there can't be any reason they wouldn't want to play it out if it's not something that they can't control. Fortunately, and this is the positive, the testing has been done every day at the ACC tournament. Testing has been a consistent. The contact tracing bands, the Connexion, that's been a very important piece of this. All that's going to help. Now, the NCAA doesn't have this as buttoned up as much as these conferences do in that contact tracing piece of it. Dan Gavitt basically saying the other day, our contact tracing will be done by going back and looking at game tape. They're not going to go with the bands. So we'll see how this plays out. But, boy, you feel for Virginia now. Ugh. Good heavens. But, again, I didn't think there was much of a chance we would get through this stuff clean across the country in college basketball the way this season has unfolded.
Well, it kind of feels like going back to football season when you found out, like when Trevor Lawrence had tested positive, and you're like, oh, my goodness, the Notre Dame game's coming up next week. And then we got into when was the test conducted, when did you find out, when does that clock start? Then you know what the protocols are for basketball, so you kind of work backwards just like you did. Hey, when does this tournament start? Well, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday set up for next week. So, again, you don't know where Virginia was going to be selected, if they were a Saturday team, if you will. You know, if this test was done on a Thursday, maybe it's a scenario. Again, we don't know the severity as far as positive. Is it multiple? Is it contact tracing? Who knows? I mean, there's so many unknowns yet before all the facts get out, so we don't want to speculate and go crazy here. But you do have to be realistic, and I think that's the most important thing here. Number one, the safety and health of the players is number one, priority one. And number two, if it works out that, hey, you can move forward, great. If you don't, much like the Duke situation, man, it stinks because you've just come so far to get to this point. You just want to have the ability to play and perform because you've done all the heavy lifting. So thoughts and prayers. We hope it all works out for the folks at Duke and now the folks at Virginia. But, man, it's disappointing for all of us as fans. It really stinks because you just wait to be entertained like we were yesterday. I thought the games were great. And, man, you just got the anticipation, what you're expecting to see tonight. But you will not see Georgia Tech and Virginia tonight. Hopefully, we see Virginia next week in the NCAA tournament.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Of course, with the breaking news, there will not be a Georgia Tech-Virginia basketball game tonight. Well, let's bring on the head man for the Jackets, Josh Pastner. Josh, good morning. Kind of a crazy day already.
Well, crazy day. Look at my hair. So I figured it just matches the day already. So I've been on the phone. So people ask, why haven't you combed your hair? I got up really early, but I've been on the phone. And, you know, I really wanted to make both you, Wes, and Mark jealous of my hair. That was the reason I haven't combed it. But just so you know that. But look, I mean, first and foremost, obviously, you want to make sure whether it was Duke or Virginia that you know, everyone's safe and they're healthy and there's no, you know, symptoms or severe symptoms. Hopefully it's just, you know, mild or asymptomatic and nobody's, you know, any health issues. That's first and foremost in our thoughts, prayers, or thinking about obviously Duke and obviously Virginia, because nothing's more important than the health and safety of everyone. But yes, I got the call that Virginia was not going to play, so we would advance to the championship. Obviously, we'd prefer to win the game to advance to the finals. Hey, it is what it is. We'll have to be ready to play. You're still playing for a championship. And, it's just one of those things. It's kind of a crazy year. Obviously, you're in a global pandemic, and it's just – you know, it's literally one day at a time, and that's all you can do. And that's what we've been talking about from the beginning of the year. And that's why to get to even play games, you're just so darn grateful. You don't take it for granted because there are no guarantees.
Josh, how much have you been able to communicate with your players since you heard this news? Did you talk to them before they saw it, I guess is my question. Because the thing about this year is it moves just like that.
I'm on a group. We have a big group text chain for our tier one travel party of 34 people. I sent out a mass text to everyone just a few minutes ago, right before it was a release, basically, that we're out, or we're not. When I say we're out, Virginia's out. We're not playing today. So we moved to the championship game. I told them we have breakfast at 10. And we'll tell you the rest of the schedule for today once we get there. I was actually on with Jay Billis, Dan Shulman, and Allison Williams. And I was telling each of them to, like, hold on for a second. I was putting it on mute because I was talking about the game night, but I was talking to the ACC at the other line. And I trying to figure out what's going on. And so it's all happened very quickly. Guys, I have, you know – the time and energy you spend on making sure that the education to our guys, even, you know, because when we played in Winston-Salem on Friday versus Wake Forest, we left on Thursday from Atlanta and have not come home. And we're not going back to Atlanta until either we win the national championship on April 5th, we'll go home the 6th, or if we lost before then sometime in the NCAA tournament. And because we wanted to create our own bubble. And part of that was, I've told the guys over and over, like, even in the elevators, you can't go in the elevators because at the hotel we're at, there's other teams. I said, you can only go in the elevators with people within your bubble. You've got to avoid this. Like, after the game yesterday, we didn't let our guys see their own families, only from after the game outside between a barrier between the families and the student athlete. And that's the only way to create and keep the bubble, to do the best you can to avoid a possible COVID. And you can do everything right and you can still get a positive. And that's what's so hard and crazy about this virus. It's just, you're doing everything you can. And I know Virginia and Duke did everything they can. It's just sometimes you just get unlucky. And that's really what it comes down to, is can you get lucky enough to not get it?
Well, we'll see what happens with Virginia moving forward as far as an NCAA appearance. And, I mean, again, who knows? We don't have enough information yet to form any opinion, and we're not the ones to make that call. But I know this much, though, Coach, the effort yesterday by your team. And, again, Miami, tip of the hat to Jim Larranaga and his kids. Six scholarship players, third game in 3 days. They're pushing you to the limit. But you saw the toughness and the grittiness of your team yesterday too, right? I mean, Jose Alvarado goes down, you're thinking, yikes, that's a problem. And the play he makes at the end of the game, hey, we're not going to lose this thing, right? I mean, that was what was so great about it. As a coach, you just got to love the fact that that's why you coach, just to watch your guys get after it.
Well, you're right, Mark, and I tell you what, I'm just so proud of our young men. The one thing that we've done here with, you know, we've done a lot of great things here at Georgia Tech, but one of the things culturally has been important to us is we always talk about winning the 50-50 ball game, and we've really done a nice job of that. I'm so proud of our young men. And you're right, Miami was really good yesterday. I thought they had more energy than us to start the game. I knew that could have been an issue with us being off for so long. And Jim Larranaga, how about the job that he's done this year? You guys have brought it up multiple times, and obviously he's a future Hall of Famer. He's closing in on 700 wins. Heck, Tony Bennett, let's get him in the Hall of Fame. What are we waiting on that? I mean, the guy should already be in. Leonard Hamilton, come on now. Leonard, why are we waiting on that? What's the point? You know, let's get him in. And the other thing I really felt you guys really wanted Miami to win yesterday based on you were having Coach Larranaga back on your show on game day, not asking me. And I sent you, Mark, the face shield signed personally by me. And you were rooting for Miami, and I was really hurt by that.
First of all, we don't root. We root for the league. That's number one. Number two, how can you whine about FaceTime? You've had more FaceTime than the history of the league since this delivery right here. I mean, come on. Every day you've been staring people in the face for 3 hours a day, whether you're with us in spirit or whatever the case may be. Now we get the passenger sandwich. We go over this shoulder. I mean, you get more airtime than anybody.
And I appreciate that much. And so I want to make sure you guys know that. No, but it's Miami's really, really good. There's no question. What they've done, how they did it, they got guys, and they've been obviously decimated with injuries, but I was really proud of our guys, the way they fought, competed, scrapped to get that win. That wasn't easy, and we found a way to get it done.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go full credit here to my guy, Corey Alexander, who has said this more than once and said it before the player of the year. Moses Wright may be the player of the year in the ACC, but he has said Jose Alvarado is the most valuable player to your team. Fair?
Well, look, that's like saying, you know, which child do you love the most? And I hear you. A couple of our guys could be watching this, so I've got to stay politically correct on this for all of our guys. But in all seriousness, I love each and every one of our guys. I mean, Jose is special, and how hard he plays. He's the back-to-back steals leader in the ACC. The last time to anyone to do that was Chris Paul. And our guys know. We feed off of Jose. Our team knows that. We feed off of Jose. But really what makes us good is we are a good basketball team. And we have different ways, you know, that I feel like we're balanced on what we do, and we have different guys that can do different things. But Jose is a huge key for us. There's no denying that. His energy, his fight, his competitive excellence, his competitive, just his competitive will to want to win. And that has helped transcend to what we're trying to do in order for us to get to where we're trying to get to. And he's really helped. And you look over this last 2 years, what we've been able to accomplish, the amount of wins we've had in this league, and moving the needle in this league, how hard that's been. You know, we finished fifth last year with 11 ACC wins, fourth this year, you know, with 11 ACC wins, and got the double bye. And, you know, you have the player of the year and the defensive player of the year in this league, which is the best league in America, which really should have 11 teams in, which I don't understand.
Oh, why. There we go.
Everyone's talking about I don't understand. Everyone's talking about the Big Ten. What about the ACC? There's 11. No doubt They're 11. And think about this. I think North Carolina State could easily.
Josh, we're getting eight. Eight will get in, Josh. Eight. Eight are coming. But eight, not 11. Eight.
Every year the ACC should be talked about 10 or 11. I really believe that. And I know you guys promote the league. I know that. I know you're big on it. I'm just telling you that there's no question. This is see what happens is people think if North Carolina and Duke aren't in the top five, then the league is something down. No, what it shows.
I don't disagree with that. Right.
Everyone is so good. At the parity, the amount of coaches, the amount of players. This is an elite, the best college basketball league in all of America, and it doesn't change this year either.
All right. By the way, two things. Number one, all of us made picks yesterday, and we all picked Georgia Tech to beat Miami. Well, I just want to say that we're on record for that. Number two, now that you're in the ACC championship game, it's Florida State and North Carolina tonight. So I'm going to put you on the spot. You've seen them. You tell us. Give us the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to Florida State and North Carolina tonight.
Well, look, what I would tell you is this. First of all, I think Florida State's obviously – you know, they're going to be hungry after coming off that tough loss versus Notre Dame. Obviously, what Coach Hamilton's done, I know they gave him a five-year extension. I saw him yesterday in the hotel. I asked him, why didn't they give him a lifetime extension? What's up with the 5 years? Let him. I mean, the guy can coach until he's 100. He deserves a lifetime extension. But, you know, I just think they're really good. And look, Coach Williams – and North Carolina, they're playing maybe as well as anybody in all of college basketball. I mean, Walker Kessler, who is really good at the time, was kind of their fourth big. He's as good as any big right now that's playing in the league. And so their guards are getting better. I think it's going to be just a great basketball game. It's going to be a high-level basketball game. Whomever wins that game, we know we'll have an incredible challenge Saturday. But look, the bottom line is, you know, however we got there, like I said, I would prefer us to winning the game to get to the championship. But regardless of that, you're in the championship. We want to go win the game because in the end, 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, you're going to be in the record books. And so you're playing for a championship. It's very similar to me playing at the University of Arizona. You know that I was 42-0 as a player. I never lost a game that I played in Arizona. I tell everyone that. But as time goes on, I don't need to keep telling people that I only got in games when we were up 25 or 30. You know, I played in every game that I played, and it was undefeated. And so as time goes on, when you have a chance to play for an ACC championship, and that's what it's about, and no matter how you got there, and if you're fortunate enough to win the game to say you've done that, to play for a championship would be something special because it will go down into the history books and the record books in the entire ACC. And then you guys will be talking about that for the rest of your show, and I think you guys both deserve lifetime contracts as well, too.
Well, we appreciate you being agent on that deal. It is all about scoreboard at the end of the day. That is true. But, you know, Josh, the fact that you don't play tonight, given the depth and everything else and how you play, the number of minutes, in some respects, you know what? Hey, it is what it is, but you get everybody off their feet and let North Carolina and Florida State hopefully play a quadruple overtime game, right? I mean, that's the game plan, right?
Yeah, and you're right, Mark. And I also think, you know, look, these are young men. You know, they're when you're playing for a championship, even though we have an off day today, for North Carolina or Florida State, whomever wins that game, we know that they're going to end up, you know, because you're playing for a championship and the adrenaline rush and everything else, you know, you're on primetime television. We know they're going to get their best shot. I mean, these guys are young and they're healthy. And so everyone's going to, you know, everyone's in good cardio condition. So whomever you play, you know, you're going to get their best shot. But look, we'll get a little rest. We'll still practice today. We'll have to figure out and get our, you know, as I like to say for this year, you got to be flexible. You got to be willing to adjust on the fly and change on the fly. And that's what we're going to do. We got to change our practice times. And we were planning to go for a small, just free throws, stretch and some free shooting. But now we'll probably practice a little bit just to keep our sweat going and then be ready to go play tomorrow night for the championship.
All right. Well, hope you get to stay on the road a long time, as they say, right? Stay on the road a while, really, maybe till early April. That's the plan.
Hey, the goal is to stay all the way till, you know, we could stay till win the championship on April 5th and then come home the 6th. That would be a good thing. Look, God bless my wife, because I got three little daughters at home. And she's like, man, you, because every time I call her, I'm just laying in bed. and the girls in the background are, she's trying to get him ready for school and yelling at him. And she goes, this is, must be real nice for you. You're staying at a resort and everything else. I'm like, hey, you know, I mean, it is, I'll be home April 6th. Just hold, I'll be home April 6th, you know.
Well, just hey, just tell them to watch the show. You're on for 3 hours every day. That's all you got to do.
On for 3 hours every day, right there.
I tell them all the time. I say that, I really appreciate you putting me up there, Mark. Yeah. You guys have been unbelievable this year, and I really appreciate that. It looks good, and I watch your show religiously, and I watch it, and it's great to see me there. I'm looking at the TV, and to see me back, it's a cool thing.
Love it. We listen. All we right, appreciate.
Let me
time.
Just remind folks. Yeah. In closing, I just want to remind folks that below the face shield, on the shield itself, it says HD face protection. Does it not, Packer?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? No, right there below the face shield at the top. HD face protection, right?
HD face shield protection.
As if Josh were looking through standard definition, he has high definition face shield protection. So thank you, Josh. Have a good day. Good luck tomorrow night. We appreciate you doing this.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys so much.
You got it. Best of luck.
You bet. Josh Pastner of Georgia Tech.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Final segment of a very fast, fun week, despite the bummer news with Duke and now Virginia with the COVIDs. And, boy, again, there'll be more about that throughout the course of the day, and we just hope that everybody is healthy and safe on both the Duke and Virginia basketball programs as we move forward.
Yep. Well, and also, boy, hope the Cavaliers can go to Indiana. That's real right. Now the hook. I mean, I know they miss out on a chance to win the ACC, certainly, but you hope they can get to Indianapolis and be part of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Very quickly, Bojangles weekend menu. Right here on ACC Network. We got plenty for you. Starts tomorrow at noon, by the way, which is 13 hours after Packer hits the bacon, egg, and cheese, and the Dogs get Tulane. Virginia Tech, NC State softball at noon, followed by Virginia at Boston College, women's lacrosse, then flip it back to softball at 4, Notre Dame at North Carolina. Then at 6 o'clock, Mike Bell in Pittsburgh, who've been playing very well, at Georgia Tech to see Danny Hall's club, 6 o'clock for game 2 of the series there. Then on Sunday at noon, you get more women's lacrosse with Notre Dame at Syracuse and Virginia NC State softball coming up right here on ACC Network at 2. Full weekend for you. Don't forget tonight, 11 o'clock, Nothing But Net follows the second semifinal of the ACC, the only semifinal as it turns out now, between Florida State and North Carolina. That game airs on ESPN starting tonight at 8:30, Pack. 8:30 tonight for the semifinal. Georgia Tech will meet the winner, Florida State, North Carolina, tomorrow night, also at 8:30, for the ACC Championship over on ESPN.
Yeah, good baseball and softball series this weekend, and I saw North Carolina knocked off Virginia in men's lacrosse yesterday. High scoring, as we thought. We had Lars Tiffany on earlier this week. The league is loaded with both the men and the women when it comes to lacrosse. I highly suggest you check that out. I mean, there's all kinds of sports going on. So it's more than just the madness from the ACC tournament and NCAA hoops beginning next week. But it's a great time of the year. It really is. So be careful out there. I mean, today, again, another reminder that, you know what, we're making progress, but we have not reached the finish line when it comes to this pandemic.
That's right. Very quickly, we got some notes here. First of all, in Louisville, we had some, what did we find here? The young lady with the hammer throw, is that right?
McKinley Forrest won the indoor weight throw national championship. And if you're a judge, heads up, watch out, fake left, boink. How about the guy here with the laser beam?
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's a good look, isn't it?
McKinley Forrest getting the job done.
McKinley.
Bringing home the hardware is what I'm talking about. Nice job.
23.26 meters. We talked about this with Ralph Sampson. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that's about 21 meters further than I can throw it. Give or take. Give or take.
Yeah, I got you. 21. Yeah, I got you.
But I can scarf down three of these Bojangles biscuits here faster than anybody else on the planet.
I understand.
That I can assure you. Anybody wants a piece of that,
there you go.
Come catch it.
Nice work.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I like it. Let's quickly jump to yesterday after his team won a huge game over Villanova. Patrick Ewing was at Madison Square Garden and offered up these thoughts to the Big East media.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
I saw that yesterday. I thought it was fantastic.
Pack, it does beg a question, doesn't it? It does beg a question, doesn't it?
You want
How
an
in the
ID?
World do you not know who Patrick Ewing is?
You want an ID? Look at this face. I mean, come on, man. We're in New York City. Pat's so great. I mean, he's 100% right. Listen, I know you got to have the right credentials and all that stuff, but come on. What are we doing here?
Ma'am, my face is my credential.
Yeah, you know, some folks have used that line and have gotten in some hot water, even specifically within this league, as a matter of fact, with this family, to be even more specific. That line that has gotten used family. Before.
That family. Yeah, that one over
family.
There.
Yeah,
that
family.
One. Yeah, this family.
Dear old dad. He pulled that line once in Cameron Indoor. That got all kinds of problems, boy. Yeah.
Could you imagine if Sidney Lowe walked to the PNC Arena, or Derek Wittenberg, or Terry Gannon?
David Thompson.
If Phil Ford walked to the doors of the Smith Center, David Thompson?
Tommy Burleson.
Sir, we need to see your credential.
How about Tommy Burleson?
Tommy Burleson?
Excuse me, you got the wrong credential. Hey, I'm Tommy stinking Burleson. 7'4".
How in the world does anybody in New York City not know who Patrick Ewing is when it comes to the Madison Square Garden? You ought to have to pass a test when you go to work at MSG.
Yeah.
The great, you know Walt Frazier. Do you know Patrick Ewing? Man, hey, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but good heavens.
Hey, by the way, tomorrow, two things this weekend. Two things. Number one, daylight savings time. Hear me out. Spring forward, fall back. Move the clocks up an hour. Wes, we don't need any 8-ish on Monday with you, all right? 7. Spring forward. So move the clocks up. And tomorrow, the MRI for Mr. Pac-Man. MRI tomorrow morning.
Oh, no.
Yes, sir. There will be stories, boy. I'm sure. I'm sure there will be stories with the infamous knee.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.